Okay, good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
Well, Kevin always said he's going to be the first one to get himself locked up, so I guess that's somewhat appropriate. My question, Josh, is where'd you get the outfit? Where did they get it? Okay. Hey, we're off to a late start this morning, so let's get right on in. Gonna have to skip the Bible question this morning. And we got Benoit Thomas bringing us some teaching and a lesson this morning, some practical examples from Proverbs, and just really have had the opportunity with the family coming a little earlier to spend a little more time with the kids and just seeing the things you preach coming out in your family and being not only a preacher of this stuff, but living it. I appreciate that about you, bro. Let's bring him up, Benoit Thomas from India.
Good morning.
Morning.
It is a joy to be here once again with you guys. And, you know, how are you guys doing? Today is a beautiful day that God has blessed us with, and what a privilege to gather together as a body of Christ. And let's open up with the word of prayer. Almighty God and Father, we thank you for this blessed day, and thank you, Father, for the privilege and honor to be your sons and daughters, to be royals, to be part of your family, and to really come together to partake of the Lord's Supper together and to remember who we are, whose we are, and where we are, Lord. What a great joy it is. And today is truly a great day, being especially as your children. Pray that the words that I share would be a blessing to those who are here, and it will help them to not just be hearers, but to be doers of the word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, yeah, the scripture has been given to us to change our minds, right, guys? The scripture is there, not just so that we can just read it once every day, do our checklist, but really to change our minds so that we will change our actions in our life. And that's what God wants. God wants us to go from darkness to light. Whatever our past was, leave that behind and to be conformed to His image. And God's Word is there to help us in so many ways. In 2 Timothy, if you have in 2 Timothy chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." See, kindle afresh. You know, God has given us, as we read on there, "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a power, love, and discipline." You know, we need to fire it up. You know, the things that God has given us, we need to get it fired up in our lives every day. I have to do that in India because it's, you know, the pressures of living in a country that has anti-conversion laws. We live in a state that's communist. India as a whole is, it's run by the Hindu government, and they want all of India as a Hindu nation. So lots of challenges physically, but should that stop us? Living in a country like that? No. As we heard, whatever situation our brother just shared with us, you know, you could go to jail or whatever, fire it up. Get it going. Keep it going. You know, whatever happens around us in this world doesn't change who we are in Christ. You know, we need to fire it up. The Spirit in us, God has given us power, love, and discipline. The Spirit is for all Christians now and for all eternity. You know, and we want to share that with others. And today I want to talk about our exhibition. You know, we got kind of an exhibition this morning. and of the practical aspects of Christianity. And that's what really, really matters. How do we're learning about the new creation, about we worship God in spirit and truth. We don't worship in this building. Every second, every minute, every hour of our life, we're in the presence of the Lord. We know that, right, guys? And Nolan does a great job. Kevin, all you guys. You guys are great encouragement to us because we hear you all the way in India. You know, the family camps, the Spanish Peaks, even the messages, the Sunday, Lord's Day morning messages. Great encouragement to us in India. It fires us up to keep taking steps of faith. See, you guys are mutually encouraging us to keep doing the work of the Lord in Asia. So, but it's our, you know, as we take the word of, you know, I could just keep on listening to the word of God. If I don't do anything with it, does it really, is it any good? Is it any good, Kevin? If we just, we'd be, our heads, you know, like Megamind, you know, that cartoon character, the animated character, Megamind, he has a big head. You know, we can take in all of this stuff. And we're getting, oh, we got all this knowledge, book, chapter, and verse. But if we, the way we grow in Christ is by putting it into practice. Putting into practice the exhibition of, it's our exhibition of the practical aspects of Christianity that really communicate, not only to our spouse, but to our children and to our neighbors, our relatives, our co-workers. That's where it pay, you know, that's where we really get some traction. So go with me to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be in the book of Proverbs for a little while. There's tremendous wisdom in the book of Proverbs. When in our Christian school there in India, I got to do morning devotions through the book of Proverbs. I don't know how many years it took me to go through book of Proverbs. And the kids got, they've been working on memorizing Proverbs for several years now. I think several of them are chapter 21 or 22. So it's always exciting to review the book of Proverbs with them and talk about that. So Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs is, you know, written by Solomon. He wrote over 3,000 Proverbs. And there's great truths. There's, you know, we need those truths every day to make godly decisions. You know, as parents, there's a lot of stuff for us parents. We impart wisdom to our children, don't we? We impart wisdom by our experiences, and especially those of us, you know, those of us who are in Christ with the knowledge and understanding that God has given us, we can impart tremendous wisdom. We are the first teachers for our children. First teachers, right? Proverbs chapter 1 verse 8 and 9 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck," right? We, as parents, we are the first teachers. One of the challenges in our Christian school we had was the, you know, we'd be working with a few, you know, some parents did a great job. So as we were working with the parents there, I think we had a dormitory, a boarding house with boys and girls living in our house for many, many years. But as the kids went home on the weekends, the parents wouldn't put it into practice, some of the things we were teaching them all throughout the week. You know, they could watch anything, do anything, you know, live, you know, whatever way they want. But that didn't make the great impact that it should have. See, those who put it into practice, who, you know, took to heart, okay, we need to put in the kingdom first in our decisions of our life, you know, and when they did that, we see tremendous changes in the family life. So God just doesn't just want us to read the scriptures. He wants us to put it into practice. So there's Proverbs chapter, let's see, go to Proverbs 7, verse 1 through 4. Let's see, keep track of my time. "My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you. Keep my commandments and live, and my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend. See, again, over and over, we see in the scriptures to make it your own. Make it your own. The things that we learn throughout the week, you know, Lord's Day, Wednesday night classes, and all throughout, you know, various other things that are going on, make it your own. Treasure my commandments within you, you know. And God's word is there to help us, to guide us, to direct us in our lives. It gives us so much information on how to live a godly life. You know, James and Ephesians and the book of Matthew talks a lot about the tongue, right? The tongue, you know, but Proverbs is the most about it. There's a right use. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11 talks about he who winks the eye causes trouble, but a babbling fool be ruined, right? We need to use our tongue in a wise manner, right? And goes on Proverbs 15:4. We got there. Soothing tongue is a tree of life, but perversion in it crushes the spirit. We need to use our tongue to edify and build others up in the body of Christ. It's there in the scripture. Are we putting it into practice? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is worth little. See, there is tremendous blessing if we use our tongue, our speech, in a godly manner. We can build others up. We can guide them on the right path. You know, so many blessings, you know, for the tongue to be a blessing, it doesn't speak until it's ready, right? Proverbs 16, verse 28. We can look, there's so many scriptures, but we just want to quickly go through some of these things. The workers, 16:28. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. We want to be people who brings people together, builds up the kingdom, and press, you know, for the growth of the body of Christ. All right. Proverbs 6:7 says, we're jumping back and forth. 6:7. Here, look at that. That's is that what I want? 6:17, I'm sorry. The haughty eye, the lying tongue, the hands that shed innocent blood, right? Lying tongue. So those things are that's a wrong use for the tongue. And there's Proverbs 12:22. There's great destruction comes from using the tongue in the wrong way, right? And the book of Proverbs gives us great insight about being a hard worker, right? Proverbs 19:24. 19:24 goes on to say about the sluggard buries his hand in the dish, but will not even bring it back to his mouth. Right? So God wants us to be fruitful, wants us to be productive. God wants us to really, God, it brings shame when we are sluggard, when we are lazy, right? When we make excuses for not working for the kingdom. We want to use the strength and talents and abilities to further the kingdom. That's why we're here. Why God has given us another day of life, right? So much wisdom there in the book of Proverbs and throughout the scriptures. It talks about pride. Our lives are showing our children how they should live. So as we go through, you know, as you go through the book of Proverbs, it's an easy book to study and, you know, there's 31 days. You can pick every month. You can go through the book of Proverbs if you want to. You know, one chapter a day. You know, today, what's today's day? 26? What is that? 26, 27? 26, right? 26. You know, Proverbs 26. Go through that. And maybe as you're having lunch with your kids or, hey, talk about it. Hey, did you do your Proverbs? That's a pretty simple chapter. Not very many verses there. Let's see, how many verses? Yeah, about 28 verses. So that's something that we can do as a family together and talk about at the lunch table or dinner table, right? Talk about, there's issues that talks about, God talks about the pride of man, you know. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Talk to your kids about that. What is pride? What does that look like? You know, God says there, everyone who is proud is in heart is an abomination to the Lord. God is disgusted by that. You know, so you know, do I have pride? You know, it's like, you know, mom and dad should ask themselves that. You know, how, you know, are we humble? Are we humble in our attitude? Are we willing to learn, as we talked about, Josh was talking about being humble. But how about anger? Anger is a big thing. Proverbs 19, verse 11 says there, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression. How are we doing with that? You know, slow to anger. Proverbs 15, verse 1. 15, verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up strife. Are these things that we can put into practice in our lives? Is this something, I need this. I need to be reminded of this daily. Daily, you know, okay. What does that say? Proverbs 15. 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Okay, I need to be gentle in my speech when I'm talking to my kids, talking to my spouse. You know, if I get angry, guess what? My spouse will get angry. You know, just stirs up strife and anger. So, gentle answer. Great reminder there. Proverbs 25, verse 28. 28 there, like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. All of this, I say, this is amazing. This is just exactly what we need for everyday life. To control, we need to control our tongue. We need to be humble as Christians. We need to have a gentle answer, you know, and difficult situations, especially nowadays with the pandemic going on and all the stuff that's going on in this world, we need to be able to be at peace and show joy and peace. And as we work with our children, with our spouse, as we work with, you know, as our neighbors watch, they're watching us, you know, our coworkers are watching you, you know, so there's a lot of stuff for practical living. But my focus this morning is about parenthood. I think all of you guys, some of you have your parents and you have kids. And if you don't, maybe you can use some of these things to help you in your life. Proverbs has more than any other book of the Bible. It has a lot to say about raising kids and working with kids. And our job as parents is not only to work long hours, cook and clean and feed our kids and wash their clothes, but also and most importantly, to fill their mind with godly thoughts. Godly thoughts and ideas of hard work and qualities of Jesus, the love and patience and forgiveness. We need to exhibit it in our marriage. We need to exhibit what forgiveness looks. You know, what does forgiveness look? We are Jesus with skin on. We're exhibiting to our children and our grandchildren and whoever else, maybe in school. You're volunteering and helping other kids. So you are showing Christ to the world. And it starts with your own family. See, they need to see love. They need to see forgiveness. They need to see the qualities of Jesus in our own lives. The greatest gift we can give to our kids is a stepping stone by our example. We need to be the teaching parents, as Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 says. Proverbs 1, my son, right? See, this father is engaged. We need to be engaged in the lives of our kids. Be alert. Not like, okay, let them do whatever. And hey, you know, really engaging, connecting with your sons, connecting with your daughters, finding out where they're at, what are they watching, what are they listening to, who are their friends? You know, how much time are they spending? Reach out to them before it's too late. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie and wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. You know, let us swallow them alive like Sheol. Right? He's pleading, reaching out. We need to be parents who are aware of the world out there, but reaching, connecting with our kids before it's too late. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21 gives us some great, my son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Pleading, praying, fasting, doing whatever it takes right now. You know, we have windows of opportunity that slowly slip away. If we don't take advantage of it, when we have it, it will slip away, right? 21 to 26, I don't have much time, but you can read it on your own. Great stuff. One chapter a day, 31 chapters, pretty simple. Guys can read it, you know, it's very easy. Proverbs chapter 3, 21 to 26, great insights there. Proverbs 4, verse 3 and 4, it says there, when I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me. Fathers, are you teaching your children? Is that number one priority? You know, or is it Facebook? Is it your business? Is it your job? Is it hunting? Is it fishing? It says the scriptures, the word of God has to be the number one priority as a dad. I didn't have a dad that taught me the Bible, didn't sit with me and pray with me or teach me about the scriptures. When I saw Jeff Hostetter doing family devotions in his house in Ghana when I was 25 years old, I said, that's what I want to do. I don't care whatever I have to sacrifice. I want to make time to be able to train up my children in the Lord. And so that was beautiful. I was like, wow. And I want to have family devotions. I want to teach my little girls or little boys that God may bless me one day. And that should be our priority as fathers, to impart wisdom, wisdom of the Lord. See? So, I lost my train of thought there. The father's job is not only to bring money home, but to teach them. That's, as moms also, that's your job. You know, teach your kids. Do not forsake her. She will guard you. Love her and she will watch over you. Right? Proverbs 3, verse 21. I read that already. So, Proverbs 4, 1 and 2. Right? We read that scripture. My son, hear, O sons, this instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. Right? Over and over, children need to be taught to remember what they are told. Remind them. Oh, sometimes it is. I have 5 kids. I know exactly how that feels, you know, reminding them. Didn't I just say that like 15 minutes ago? You know, forgetful memories, and I forget many things, and the Lord is gracious to me, so I need to be gracious to my children and continue to patiently remind them of what's really important. You know, we might have to say it 100,000 times. It doesn't matter. Just remind them of the things of God in a gentle, loving guide, you know, giving them that guidance and direction. See how. So Proverbs 6:21, how important are parents' instructions? It says they're bind. That's a strong word there. Bind them. Proverbs 6:21, bind them continually, not once. You know, it's not the preacher's job to train up your children. You know, Nolan does a great job, but Nolan's job is to train up his own kids. It's our jobs, moms and dads. You gotta watch your life when your kids are at home. What you're watching, what you're listening to, how you talk to each other. You know, we can be in this assembly every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It doesn't mean anything if our lives are not being transformed. We know the new creation principles. We know we are seated with Christ in glory. We've been talking about it for years and years. How is it changing us? Us individually. I'm talking to myself in my life. Is it transforming my character? We know all of these things. Oh, I lost my.
Sorry about that. Okay. I hope I didn't break it.
So, we'll stick this here. Can you hear me? Yes. All right. You know, we've got to change, guys. We can do this. It's our lives, our practical aspects of Christianity exhibited every single day of our lives. You know, the Bible talks a lot about this discipline and correction. There's a right way to correct our kids. Proverbs 29:17, right? There's a right kind will bring delight to your soul. Proverbs 29:17. I'm going through this. Correct your son and he will give you comfort. He will also be a delight to your soul. You know, what are we focusing our attention on? The hunting, the fishing, the video games? You know, which one is, what is it? What is our passion? Your passion for, you know, should be for the Lord and for His kingdom and the souls, especially your own children and your own spouse. Husbands, wives, love each other, help each other to make it to heaven. The stuff of this world, we can't take it. We can't take the stuff that we accumulate in this world. It's somebody else plays with it after we leave, right? You know, you find it at the garage sales. You know, you go to the Goodwill shop. Hey, that's his stuff. He left last week. That's all of his stuff there. You know, it's at the Goodwill shop. It's just passed on. See, what can we bring to help? What's the most important job? What is most important today is to focus on helping the ones right in front of us, right in front of our nose. You know, you don't have to go save the world on the other side of the globe, but right in front of us. Who do you have? And you are their lifeline. You are their lifeline. So, Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. So are we reproofing our children with great wisdom, with this, you know, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. These are things written right here in the Word of God. Are we disciplining in love, you know, talking to them, guiding them? You know, both are important, we see there, the rod and reproof. See, do both, not just one. That's what the Word of God encourages us to do. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it. Far from it. You know, we've had lots of talks with our kids, you know, over the years. Just constantly guiding and directing. If you don't guide them and direct them, who will? The world is ready. The world is out there waiting anxiously. Just give them to us. Give it. Yeah, you're busy. Go make some more money. Go make some more money. You know, just give me your kids. You know. So, Proverbs 19:18. Discipline your son while there is hope and do not desire his death. Right? Over and over, God's word about parenting, teaching, you know, the blessings of having an obedient son. You know, Proverbs 3, you know, if we do our job right and we focus our attention on what's really important, it will be tremendous blessings. Proverbs 3:1-4 says, "My son, do not forget the teaching and do not but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." Wow. Don't you want that for your son? Your daughters? Your sons and daughters? Yeah, so that's what I anxiously pray. Peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Is there anything greater? Is there a greater work than this? Can you think of anything greater? I can't think of anything greater than training up a next generation of superheroes for King Jesus, you know? Who can light this world on fire with their godly character, by their beautiful marriages and their, you know, raising their kids the right way. See? Proverbs 4:10, "Hear my son and accept my sayings, and years of your life will be many." Blessed life, not years of sorrow and pain. See, give the teachings ahead of time before the temptations and outside pressures come before them so that they can prepare, their mind. Teach you as a father, as a mother, teach your children when they're young. You know, I saw all those beautiful kids. Beautiful. What a wonderful opportunity to teach. And God, they're listening. They're waiting. Yes. They got their ears open, waiting to listen. You know. So Proverbs 6:20-24. Proverbs 6:20. Hear, says, Proverbs 6, 20 to 24. My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. That sounds so familiar. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. Micah, right? I was talking to you, Micah. You know? Anastasia, right? And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is light, and the reproofs for discipline are the way of life to keep you from the evil woman and the stuff that's out there, right? The bad stuff out there. Teaching, guidance. All right? Give attention to your children while you live, before your death, so that they can follow after you. Follow after you. Train up a child. Proverbs 22, right? 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. It takes a tremendous amount of work, right? God's wisdom over, you know, God's wisdom over our own is the all important, right? So much to share about that. There's some things that we can do practically to help us. There, I can go on and on. But what are some practical things that we can do to improve our relationships with our children? Maybe our children are not in Christ or they've left. How can we restore if they're older or, you know, and what are things that we can do that will help with our children and also our spouse? What are some things, basic, simple things? There's so many things we can talk about. But I like to have put a list together, and I hope this helps. First thing, some ideas for building stronger relationships with one another is be a smiley person. You know, I was talking about, there's an REM song, Happy Shiny People. I think it's like the 90s song. Anybody heard that song, Happy Shiny People? You know, that's who we are in Christ. Happy Shiny People. Because we have Christ in us. You know, we should be happy. You know? We should be happy. We should have a smile on our face. When our children wake up in the morning, they should see Dad happy. He's not focused in his own world. Or, you know, I could be like that. You know, I'm just like zoned out. Got to do my thing, get my coffee. And, you know, my wife has been encouraging the whole family to do 20-second hugs. So give each other 20-second hugs. So we're like, oh, everybody's giggling and laughing. Okay, 20-second hugs. You know, just encourage each other. Good morning. You know, being happy and cheerful, not being zoned out. But make a conscious choice to smile. First thing, simple, right? We all have a mouth. We can smile. That smile will show up in our voice and bring a happier attitude and even makes us feel better about our situation just by smiling. Things are not really bad. It is. We are in Christ. We have tremendous blessings. Everything for life and godliness, God has given it to us. So number one, it was a smile, right? The number two, some simple things we can do is sticky notes. Sticky notes, you know? Put encouraging notes for your kids, you know? If your kids are on their pillow or on their wall or on their notebook, some of you guys are already doing this. Just words of encouragement. I love it when I get little sticky notes from my wife or even from my daughters. I have like a whole bunch in my Bible. You know, just like it's like a super charging, you know, when I get those sticky notes, like it encourages me a lot. You know, as a dad, I need encouragement. Appreciate my daughters doing that. Sometimes life beats you down, and you know, I got my hammer here. I brought that. Beats you down. So we need encouragement, don't we? Do we need encouragement? Moms need encouragement, so daughters can do that for their moms. And, you know, daughters, great thing that you could do is just spontaneous. Go up to your dad and say, hey, Dad, I love you. You know, I love you. I appreciate you. And so those are some simple things. Sticky notes are really good, encouraging ways to build each other up. If you have young kids or anyone, you know, quick run. Number three is quick run. You know, if you got to go to the store, you got to go to the post office or fill up the gas tank or whatever it is. Great time to talk. Grab one of your kids and go for a ride. You know, those few minutes. You know, you can talk to one of your kids, catch up on what's going on in their lives. A quick run. This takes a few minutes. It sometimes could be a little inconvenience. I'm like, okay, but this is good. This is a time for me to talk one-on-one with my son or my daughter or whoever it is. So that's number three. Number four is instant messages. Instant messages. You know, some of your kids might have, some of the older ones might have a phone. Send them a message, a text message. Thinking of you, praying for you, you know, love you, whatever it is. An email, you know, text message, whatever it is, just instant messages. Number five is, you know, morning hellos. Seek out your children. Seek out your spouse in the morning. You know, give them a hug. Give them a kiss. Do it before they do. It should be like, okay, I got to get, you know, real. These are things, little things that build up our relationship with one another. Simple. They're simple things. Right, but they work. You know, I never grew up with this, but it really encourages, builds a stronger relationship with your children and your spouse. The 1 minute, number six is 1 minute, stop and listen. 1 minute, stop and listen. You know, in our busy, busy life, we can stop and listen to our spouse and children, eyeball to eyeball. You know, maybe we got a lot of things to do. We can look at them eyeball to eyeball and it's like, hey, is there anything that you need? You know, give them that 1 minute of attention. You know, I'm just saying 1 minute, but, you know, it just takes only a minute for someone to feel respected and loved. 1 minute, guys. 1 minute, gals, you know, just to feel, hey, what can we do today? You know, what do we need? So 1 minute of stop and listen. Sometimes our kids are like, no, I don't have time for you. I don't have time. I got so many busy, a lot of things to do, and just takes a moment. Number seven is teachable moments. Life has many teachable moments that can greatly help our children to succeed in marriage and society. So everything from washing dishes. Let your children wash dishes. Wash dishes with them. Solving disagreements. Disagreements are a good thing because at that, we get an opportunity to teach them how to solve disagreements, you know, how to do it the right way, you know, cooking with your kids or, you know, with your spouse, serving, you know, our job as parents is to prepare and train our children when they leave home so that they know how to go through life on their own, right? It's not just about feeding them and clothing them and giving them an education, but training them in the things of God. Number eight is answering questions. Kids have lots of questions. Stop and answer their questions. Say, hey, I don't know that. You know, be humble. It's like, that's a great question. Let's look that up and let's find the answer. You know. Number nine is laugh and play. Laugh and play. It's a good just to laugh and have fun with your kids in every moment. It's all about, sometimes it could be all about correction. You know, I got to correct my kids. They're doing something wrong again, but find moments when they're not doing something wrong and just to laugh and enjoy being a parent and so that's laugh at number nine. Number 10 is think, you know, figure out what's your daughter's favorite ice cream or flavor or, you know, your wife's something that she likes or maybe flowers or whatever it is and do something. You know, little things like that. Remembering these things really it goes a long way. Great way to tell them you love them. You know, I know we're Montana men here, right? Tough guys. But God is a God of love. He is a God of love. He's laid down his life, and we need to show that to our children and our spouse. So, number 11 is something that we practice quite often in our family, a minute of prayer. How are our children going to learn to pray spontaneously for things that happen around them? Whenever there's a problem, that's a call for God's help. You know, we get all the kids together, prayer huddle time. Dad doesn't know what to do in this situation. We got to get to India. There's a lot of this pandemic going on, and there's this, you know,
coronavirus and this is going and a lot. We need to pray. We need to beseech the Lord. Let's pray, pray, pray. Or this accident happened or somebody needs something. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Stop whatever you're doing. Come together. Let's get together. Let's pray together. So we're setting a stepping stone for our kids, for their future, because they're going to have challenges in their life. So what teaching them to go to the Lord. Number 12 is sharing a faith story. Take a minute and write down some times that God has worked in your life. Next time you have a few minutes, you're sitting together over the lunch table or something, and share your stories. As moms and dads, some of the great things God has done, and God gave you victory here, and God gave you victory over here, and you know, all the amazing things that God has done in your life. Share those stories with your kids. That was number 12. Number 13, multitasking. You know, you can work on, you know, kids are working on homework. Talk to your kids while you're making dinner. You know, talk to them. Talk to, and, you know, how was your day? And what you, you know, have a little, you know, I really appreciated Rebecca would do that with Anastasia and Hadassah and the kids. And, you know, one-on-one time with mom. And that's always what I think they found that to be a blessing. So, number 14, getting your input time. Number 14 would be input time, getting your children's input. Help them feel part of the team. You know, we're a family that live in, we work in Asia, and we do a lot of things. We're always traveling and teaching and going here and there. And it's like, hey, what do you think about this situation? We're in the van together, and we're seeking advice. You know, what are your thoughts? You got any ideas? What should we do in this situation? Getting their input, so help them to feel they're part of this team. We're working together as a family to change lives. So number 15, I believe in you moments. Say something personally encouraging to each of your children every day. You know, say something something encouraging about each one of your children every day. You know. This is the, you know, it really, that's really important. You know, these are great reminders to me. As I'm sharing these things with you, I'm just reminding myself I need to do more of it. See, what happens in the first few moments after we and our children wake up and can, you know, can flavor the whole day, right? It can just change the whole attitude. Let's set the tone as moms and dads. Let's set the tone with great attitudes, joy, excitement, the things of, you know, forgiveness and love. So number 16 is manners. You know, it takes a few seconds to say please and thank you. Sounds silly, right? Sounds pretty silly. It's like saying please and thank you. You know, I'm sorry. I didn't know that. I forgot. Oh, I apologize. As dads, you know, I've had to apologize to my children several times. I'm sorry I didn't know. I'm sorry I got upset at you. Oh, so please forgive me. These are the practical aspects of Christianity we are displaying to our children and our grandchildren. See, and it's our job to teach our children everything they need to know in order to live a life by the time they leave our home. Guys, there's so many other things, but I will stop there. I think my time is up for this morning, and I hope this was encouraging. These are some things that we're working on, and I'm personally working on in my life and in working with my own kids and the kids that we have in our home and the families in Asia. So praise God for God's Word. We're not in the dark. We have the light of His Word to help us to be the very best. Doesn't matter whatever our past was, what our dad and mom did or didn't do, or, you know, we are new creations. We are sons of light, and we can do things according to His way. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you.